You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Steelers over the Giants last night, 26-16. The health of Ben Roethlisberger, and how healthy can he be? That defense is going to take them a long way. Titans survived the Broncos 16-14 tonight. Heat Celtics game one tonight. Nuggets Clippers game seven. Back to the Steelers with Roethlisberger. You know, he had this. We weren't sure if he wanted to play any longer. I think the documentary that he has coming out, I think he partnered with the Mothership, and it kind of details the off-season rehabbing, having the surgery, and deciding to come back. I think he had the blessing of his wife, family to come back, and Ben last night looked okay. Had three touchdown passes. It looked okay. If that's what you can get out of Ben Roethlisberger, I think Mike Tomlin would take that. And plus you have the Steelers defense. Juju Smith-Schuster looked good too. James Conner got banged up a little bit there. Chase Claypool, I think, is a legitimate. He's a big dude and came out of Notre Dame with a lot of hype. And, you know, they might have found their next tight end. They just seem to find tight end and wide receiver there and receivers there in Pittsburgh. Here is Ben Roethlisberger after last night's win.
I probably just grabbed my knee because I was moving so fast. But, no, I feel great right now. Obviously, adrenaline is still probably pumping, and we won the game. I'm going to be sore tomorrow, there's no doubt. I got some bumps and bruises. But in terms of elbow and everything else, I feel really good right now.
He tweaked his knee early in that game. That's what he was talking about. But good win for them. You know, it's one of those games that you look at and you go, of course you're supposed to beat the Giants. But there are teams that don't win those types of games. And that's where you look at what happened with the Colts in Jacksonville. You should have won that game. You should be better, a lot better than the Jags. You got to win those games. Washington standing alone atop the NFC East. Jags tied for the lead in the AFC South. Aaron Rodgers tied for the league lead with touchdown passes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire leads the NFL in rushing. Are we surprised at any of those things? I would say the Jags tied for the lead in the AFC South would be my first choice, followed by Washington standing alone atop the NFC East. Aaron Rodgers, nothing surprises me when it comes to greatness. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, by all accounts, was going to be the running back, the rookie to watch this year. And I don't think anybody should be surprised with what we saw in week one. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Poll question, McLovin, what do we have so far?
Okay, hour one and two was, if you were the Titans, would you release Steven Gostkowski today? 60% said no.
Yeah, I'm going to wait. He didn't look good. It was a little shaky last night, came through with the game winner. You obviously have a kicker who has quite a resume. As Steve Levy said last night on the broadcast, a Hall of Famer in waiting. I think he's of the Hall of Very Good, but he's not a Hall of Famer. Just in from Chris Mannix, the Toronto Raptors have signed Nick Nurse to a multi-year contract extension per the team. We say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock, and also our great radio affiliates around the country, numbering 362. Here is the aforementioned Steven Gostkowski after the game winner last night.
It's a very fickle position. It's definitely an opportunity I did deserve, but grateful that I got it for, you know, the team and the guys that went out there and busted their butt. I mean, I really put them in a tough spot. And, you know, you don't always get that lucky to get a chance to redeem yourself. But, you know, I'm just happy that the guys got to celebrate. And, you know, I'm disappointed in myself and embarrassed and frustrated. But at the end of the day, you know, we won. And luckily, guys are happy going home.
Here's Mike Vrabel, the Titans head coach, if he had any doubts on the game-winning field goal.
Nope. And they did, obviously, because they weren't using their timeouts and they were banking on them. And, you know, we all got to do our job. And again, it's not on just one player. You know, we'll get this stuff fixed. We got a lot of faith in our players. Excited to get out of here with a win. It's a tough place to play.
I also saw some numbers here on the Lions. Matt Patricia doesn't think it was his fault the Lions blew another fourth quarter lead. Now, he didn't drop the ball. DeAndre Swift did. But they were up 10 points with 4 minutes to play. And he opted for a 55-yard field goal. And it banged off the goalposts. The Bears had excellent field position. They scored a touchdown. Now they're down three. Then there's the interception. I mean, that interception was huge. that Matthew Stafford, and why they were throwing the ball then, I have no idea. But Patricia was asked about blowing another fourth quarter lead, and he said, look, I don't think so. I think I've got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job. So I don't think it's that. I think we all know what the individual games are. We got to do a better job. We got a team right now that's different than the previous 2 years. This team is different. They're different players. They have a different mindset. We have no excuses. Give the Bears credit. They did what they did, and they executed, and they scored, and they won, and we didn't. Now, Matt Patricia is talking about Malcolm Butler's game-saving goal line interception for the Patriots when he was the defensive coordinator when they beat Seattle. That was 5 years ago. As the Lions head coach, he's won 9 games out of 33 and a tie. But if you start to look at some blown fourth quarter leads, 2019, they blew an 18-point lead to the Cardinals. That game ended in a tie. They would blow another 6 third-quarter leads during the season. 2018, they lost 48-17 to the Jets after returning an interception for a touchdown on the very first play. In all, the Lions have blown 11 fourth-quarter leads since Matt Patricia became the head coach. That's one-third of all of his games that he's coached. Here is Matt Patricia yesterday.
Throughout really your tenure here, you've had fourth quarter leads and lost them. Is there something in your coaching that maybe isn't happening enough in the fourth quarter for you to close out games?
Yeah, I don't think so, Mike. I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job.
Yeah, that was one play, and it was absolutely a great play. One of the biggest plays in the history of the NFL. Yes, Eden?
You know, that is a question, though, that if, perhaps if reworded, it might not elicit such a defensive response. Coach, is there something in the way that you're coaching that's causing the team to blow all of these leads in the fourth quarter?
I think it's the word you.
Is there something that you're doing specifically that's causing your team to lose all these games, Coach?
But I think that's where I go, you know, speaking of Malcolm Butler, Coach, could you tell me why he got benched in the Super Bowl? I'll hang up and listen. We're on to Cincinnati. We're not even playing them, but we're on to Cincinnati. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. DanPatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. So, McLovin, we're going to stay with that poll question for the final hour of this award-nominated program.
I have another question for you.
Okay.
The Heat Celtics, if we put up that poll, who's going to win that series? Which side wins? I saw, and I was surprised to see this, the Celtics are 1.5-point favorites tonight.
Okay.
I think it's like a 50-50. I have no idea who people think is going to win this.
Well, they might be enamored with the Heat and how the Heat polished off the Bucks, and that they played great defense there against the Greek Freak. By the way, Milwaukee met with the Greek Freak, and they told him that they will spend around him, that they will go over the luxury tax threshold, I believe. I don't know who you're bringing in, but Milwaukee will offer the Greek Freak a supermax deal that's worth 35% of the Bucks cap, somewhere between $220 and $250 million over 5 years. But after that, who are you going to bring in? And I think who wants to go in there and play for Milwaukee? And who's going to be available to bring in? I love the idea of Chris Paul, and I think Chris Paul would have made a huge difference for that Milwaukee team this year. But it comes down to you got to look at what went wrong in the postseason, because that's going to continue to happen. Unless the Greek Freak develops, I mean, he has to take some blame too. He's got to develop a go-to move that in a half-court set, you can count on that, and he hasn't yet. And I don't want Eric Bledsoe in there, you know, as a starter. But I do need somebody who's got some experience who I can count on to be a leader, to be a, you know, somebody who can guide us in the fourth quarter of a big game. Yeah, Paulie.
I look at the NBA salary cap. Milwaukee Bucks were second in the league in spending this year. They're $135 million, second only to the Trailblazers. Next year, they're at $132 million. That puts them in the top five of salary cap spending next year.
Well, they're probably going to be tops when they have to pay the Greek Freak, I'm guessing, with a Supermax deal.
Yeah.
The Clippers, one of three current NBA franchises who have never reached the conference finals. Those other two teams, the Hornets and the Pelicans, they began as expansion teams many, many years after the Clippers were established. First in San Diego and then in Los Angeles. Yeah, McLevin.
My dad had a hot Jimmy Butler take.
Oh.
This is you get to, if you hear this take, you'll know where Against the Grain came from.
Okay.
My dad says, who's a Sixers fan, said, Jimmy Butler's not that good. He's only great in the last 6 minutes of a game. Is that what you really want?
That's the kind of guy I do want.
Yeah, as I said to my dad, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what every team wants. It's there's a guy who dominates the last 6 minutes of a game.
There's a lot of guys who are really good for the first 42 minutes of a game. I want to know who's great at the end of a game.
Sixers have plenty of 42-minute guys.
Your dad doesn't like those pesky clutch players, does he?
Well, all of Philly's mad that Jimmy Butler escaped. It feels like that's why people are picking the Heat, because Jimmy Butler is the veteran. And
well, I think more people would probably pick Boston because we're aware of Boston, and we saw that nucleus a couple of years ago when Kyrie got hurt, and they were surprising everybody going to the Eastern Conference Finals. But you have Tatum, and you have Brown, Smart. You got Brad Stevens. So I think they're more known. You have to watch a Miami Heat game and you go, oh, that's right, Eric Spoelstra is still their coach. Now, who's playing with Jimmy Butler? Bam Adebayo. Where did he go to school? Oh, Kentucky, that's right. Goran Dragic is still in the NBA. Who is Robinson Duncan or Duncan Robinson? Tyler Hero? Yeah. So if you watch them play, they really play well together. And that's a lot of fun to watch them play. It's good basketball. And Spoelstra is a Hall of Fame coach. Yes, McLevin.
But then Jimmy Butler has a way of sucking up all the energy and attention media-wise. I don't know what it is. Like, in a good way. Like, I feel like we don't know those guys because we know Jimmy Butler.
Well, I think when they lose, it falls on Jimmy Butler. Like, he kind of soaks that up. It's on Jimmy Butler because are you going to blame Goran Dragic if they don't advance or Bam Adebayo? You're not. You'll blame Jimmy Butler. Let me see. Get a couple of phone calls in here. Kyle in Tampa. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, DP.
Hey.
Talking about play-by-play teams, I think they all did a great job this past weekend of letting everybody know that they just appreciated the fact that they could call a football game, and I think we kind of all shared in that sentiment. But two-part question for you. First part, if a network called and said, Dan, we need a pair of Danettes to fill in for play-by-play, who would you pick and why? Second part of the question, what is a dream play-by-play duo that either hasn't happened yet or never happened at all? Mine, for example, can you imagine the enthusiasm of Doc Emmerich and Tony Romo?
Yeah, that would be interesting to have Doc Emmerich call an NFL game. I don't know how Romo would do in hockey. If somebody needed a play-by-play an analyst, well, McLovin would be the analyst.
But like a Dennis Miller, a Tony Kornheiser type analyst. Because if you ask me the 3 technique or the 5 technique or the 7 technique.
Oh, no, we won't get into details there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can fake it too.
Yeah, those guys go like, Herbie was saying some things last night, for example, that I was actually thinking about that because Herb Street's never done an NFL game and he sounded like he had known that game forever.
But I think, you know, when you say, hey, what are the keys to the game? And then you'll come up with like 3 or 4 keys to the game.
Like, oh, you got to you have to establish a pass rush.
Yeah. You know, you got to play with, you know, let's see, anticipation, and you got to be prepared and
set the edge.
Mention the secondary at some point.
Yeah, and this game's going to be won in the trenches, won or lost in the trenches.
Of course.
You know that.
Yeah, got to.
But ultimately, it's going to come down to the quarterback play.
Yeah, McLovin.
What have you done? I know you've done basketball play-by-play. Have you ever done an analyst?
No. Well, I'm not qualified to be an analyst. Todd, I couldn't have. If we needed to fill time during a rain delay.
What kind of lightning storm or something?
Yeah, but I can't have you in the booth.
Like a third man in the booth?
No.
Make little comments?
No.
Little pithy comments?
You can't have a little comment.
I can't.
You're not capable. And you never really make a true prediction or a decision.
I do kind of hang on the fence there.
You do. Yeah. You're on the fence. Yes, Eden.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Todd, I couldn't think of anyone who's better at short, pithy comments. Like, that's not you at all.
I'd make passive-aggressive little, like, sarcastic little remarks on the side.
No, you wouldn't do it well. Paulie could do play-by-play.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, out of the group.
Out of this group.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it.
I think you're able to fake it. I think you could fake being a play-by-play guy better than the other guys. And McLovin could probably, you could pull off against the grain being an analyst.
Yeah.
I mean, just throw in a couple of those, you know, phrases that we have no idea what it is, and then you sound like you're part of the fraternity. Yeah, see?
I'm at best down on the sideline. If Ooh. Not, I'm out in the parking lot, maybe for the local news.
Mm.
I'm not even part of the select main sports organization.
And Todd, I don't know if I have a place for you.
Nothing.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because I have to have brevity. And I just don't think that I can throw down to you.
Like ticket sales or something?
No, nothing. No, we're talking about the broadcast. Like, I can't go, and let's go down to Todd Fritz on the field. Todd, and then you're going to go on and on and on.
Just a sprained ankle. Get to the point. We just missed four plays while you were trying to. He's in the locker room. They're checking his ankle.
And I was in the locker room, and then I saw what they had, and then I couldn't believe that they had orange Gatorade. They didn't have the yellow Gatorade. And I love orange Gatorade.
That would be very problematic for you.
Yeah, you know, just saying. Yes, Paul.
But I'd be totally snarky during play-by-play second two for the Giants. Saquon Barkley about to get swallowed up by the entire defense. You know, it would just be snarky stuff all the time.
Yeah, but you can't be an analyst, though.
Right. That's the thing. I would not be able to hold my tongue.
Yeah, that's because you can't overanalyze when you have an analyst like McLovin waiting. Ron Rivera is going to join us, and we'll talk about the Washington football team's opening win, plus what happened at halftime, because Coach was getting an IV. He's going through cancer treatment, and Dwayne Haskins got up and addressed the team. So we'll talk to Coach about that. More phone calls as well. It's coming up on 18 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Let me get your attention here. How would you like to save $400 a year on your cellular service? Are you with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile? Because the average person is saving $400 a year by just switching to Pure Talk USA. The cool part is you don't sacrifice coverage. You don't have to sacrifice speed in order to save 50% on your wireless bill, because Pure Talk is on the exact same towers and network as some of those carriers, covering 99% of Americans. So what are you waiting for? Pure Talk's customer service, based here in the United States. You can keep your phone, keep your phone number. You can choose from the latest iPhones, Androids. And right now, get unlimited talk, text, 2 gigs of data, all for just $20 a month. Grab your mobile phone. You dial #250 and say Dan Patrick. Then you're good to go. You're going to save 50% off your first month. Dial #250, and then you say keyword Dan Patrick. Pure Talk USA, simply smarter wireless. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text from Pure Talk USA. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Dan Patrick Show brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe, because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you miss any interviews this week or any week from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, Mercedes-AMG driving performance. Reggie Miller will join us tomorrow as we recap Nuggets-Clippers Game 7, Heat-Celtics Game 1. Washington football team had the win against the Philadelphia Eagles. Didn't look good in the first half, but came back, scored 27 unanswered points, beating the Eagles 27-7. Their head coach, Ron Rivera, kind enough to join us. Coach, how's it feel to be in first place?
It feels good. It does, Dan. You know, it's been a long offseason. It really has, but I was just real happy for our players. You know, they were very resilient, did the things that they needed to do, and took care of business. So it's exciting. It is.
How's your health? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. You know, it's been a little trying, just trying to kind of get in the swing of things, get the feel for it, understand what's happening, you know, what's happening with me, what's happening with my health, what's happening with my body. But, you know, I'm very fortunate. I got a great team of doctors and specialists, and I got a good prognosis. So, again, it's a matter of taking care of business now.
Now, when you got an IV at halftime, is that planned?
Yes, it was planned. It was more about hydration, making sure that I was going to be okay in terms of my energy level and all that. You know, it was a warm day, and talking with our team doctor and our head trainer, you know, we had mapped it out. You know, as soon as we were coming in, I was going straight into the training room and I was going to take care of my business and, you know, let it go from there.
Now, it's cell cancer?
Well, what it is, it's a squamous form of cancer that's gotten into one of my lymph nodes. And it's not lymphoma. Some people have misreported it, but it's a form of cancer that got into a lymph node. It's a very treatable, very curable type cancer. So I'm very fortunate we caught it early.
And what happened at halftime? You're getting an IV, and then all of a sudden you have to overhear a voice that's standing out among all of the voices there in the locker room. What was going on?
Well, you know what happened was I was going in. I talked to Malcolm Black and my director of player development. I said, hey, we got to make sure we have somebody step up to the mic, you know, and give the halftime speeches. I don't think I'll be done in time. So I go in, I'm getting the IV, and all of a sudden, you know, I hear the two-minute warning, and then all of a sudden I hear this high-pitched voice, you know, at the top of his lungs screaming at everybody, come, bring it up, Scott, bring it in tight. You know, hey, and they start talking about what happened last year. Last year, the Washington team had the lead and gave it up and lost. Well, that's pretty much what Dwayne Haskins did. Was he talked about what happened last year and said, "Hey, why can't it happen for us this year?" And it was a very good speech from what I hear. I didn't hear it all. I heard bits and pieces, but from what I was told, the guys went out and obviously based on the way they played, he hit a chord with them.
What have you seen that's different about Dwayne Haskins this year as opposed to last year?
You know, first of all, his detail and his work. You know, getting an opportunity to watch some of the practice tape from last year and watching some of the games that he played. You know, and then the conversations he and I had in January, where I basically challenged him about, you know, developing and changing and learning how to do things the right way. He took it to heart. You know, he had a really good offseason all the way through all the Zoom meetings that we had, the way he kind of led his teammates through some of their own personal workouts that they had together as groups, to the way he handled himself during training camp. It's been tremendous. It really has. You've seen a transformation of a young man that's trying to learn how to focus and learn how to do it the right way.
What do you think of your defense?
I like the beginning. I really do. You know, I basically told the team, you know, halfway through the second quarters. I'm not sure who showed up in the first quarter wearing burgundy guys, but guys that are playing right now, those are the guys that I like. And they got the message. It was a hell of a deal that, you know, the way they just really kind of put it together, you know, because we really didn't have anything to gauge it on, Dan. You know, we had no preseason games. You know, we did most of our hitting was early because of the way practices were set up. And then from that point, it was really about, you know, installations and learning. So we didn't know what we had. And I thought we played tentatively. I mean, if you look at what happened on special teams, you know, we didn't play well early. We missed a kick. Defense, we gave up 17 points quickly. Defense, offensively, we went a couple of three and outs right away. So we really didn't put it together. All of a sudden, we get a takeaway. Fabian Moreau intercepts the ball. We go down and score a touchdown. We pin them inside, you know, inside the 10 a couple times. And then we were off to the races. So it was almost like all of a sudden the realization that, man, you know what? We have a chance. We can be pretty good.
You got Arizona coming up and Kyler Murray. Have you looked at the game film from their game against the Niners?
Yes, I did. I mean, he's a dynamic young man. We played him last year. You know, I think it was our third game of the year last year in Carolina. I had an opportunity to watch him. We won, but you could see what the young man means to their offense. You know, and then you throw Hop on top of it. You know, and now he has another weapon. I mean, they're a very well rounded offense. Good offensive line, stout, good running backs. I love their backs. You know, I like Drake a lot. And then you look at their defense and you think that they've done a good job putting a team together down in Arizona.
Did you catch any of Cam Newton's highlights?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
He's, you know what? It's only going to get better. It really is. He hadn't played a lot of football the last 2 years. And I followed him, you know, during the offseason just to see where he was, keep tabs on him just in case something happened here. But he ended up in a good place, and really just kind of watching him and watch the way he played, he was having fun, and that's probably the biggest thing that he probably hadn't had in the last 2 years because of the injuries, is he hadn't had any fun. So, you know, I'll tell you what, I just think he's going to get better and better and stronger and stronger.
What'd you think of the yellow outfit that he wore to the game? Did you see that? Do you have a favorite Cam outfit?
You know, anyone that he wears a hat. I think the one where he dressed up like Hugh Hefner. with the robe that one time. I thought that was one of my favorites. But, you know, I texted Derek Anderson before the game, and I said, hey, do you know what your guy's wearing? And he texted me back. He said, no, I'm going to have to get a picture. And then when he finally saw the picture, he sent it to me, and we started chuckling.
But he wore the scarf that one time.
Yes.
Like, whatever that was, did you ever say anything to him, like, Cam, you know, maybe not after this game?
Well, you know what happened was, in 2013, when we started rolling, I had this little motto about guys, hey, man, you know, hey, make sure you do things the right way, okay? If you live your life by these sets of rules, do it, but keep your personality. So he took it to the extreme. He kept his personality. And so every time I would say something, he said, coach, you told me to be myself, keep my personality. You know, because that's one thing Cam will do is he'll use your words against you now.
I loved it. Did Belichick reach out to you to ask you about Cam before he signed him?
No. You know, coach and I, you know, we have a great relationship. We talk every now and then, but no, he didn't. But again, that's one of the places when people ask me, where do I think he'd end up? I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in New England because of the way coach, and he said it the other day, you find out what your guy does best and you do it. And that's what he did with Tom Brady for all those years. And that's what he's going to do with Cam. I mean, he's going to do the things that Cam does best.
What's your t-shirt signify?
Oh, this is my hometown area, Monterey, California. And that's the logo for the Monterey Peninsula Country Club.
Do you play Pebble, obviously?
Yes, I grew up there and I've had a couple chances, yes.
All right. Are you any good?
I'm good enough to get beat. I get beat by my wife. My wife's a 5 handicap, okay? So and she didn't give me strokes.
Do your players have any idea the kind of player you were? Does anybody bring up old footage or pictures?
A few of them do, especially Thomas Davis. He never lets me forget it. You know, he knew I was kind of the dirty work guy. You know, I wasn't spectacular. I wasn't one of those, you know, great players. I was just that guy that knew my role. I did my role. I played it to the best of my ability. I think that's that. And Thomas lets me know that all the time.
All you need to do is bring out that Super Bowl ring from 85.
That's what I do.
Like that.
Believe me, I haven't done it yet. I'm going to do it. But yeah, you're right. That carries a lot of weight. It really does, especially with the players. And that's one of the things that, you know, we're trying to get across to these guys that we've got a lot of people that have been there. They know what it takes. So you got to trust us.
And did you keep anything from that Super Bowl?
From Super Bowl 20?
With the Bears.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got pictures. You know what I found? Well, you know, when you pack up and you move and you know you have it somewhere. I found Buddy Ryan's game notes for us for Super Bowl 20 and the game plan. So I have all that. Stephanie put a nice little file. We sealed it up and put it away. I mean, I went back and looked at that, and there's some really cool stuff that Coach Ryan had on that. I mean, that was an amazing to find. It really was. It was cool to see again.
But you had both the defensive coordinator and the head coach got carried off the field.
Yes.
Was it really split like that? That the defense was with Buddy and everybody else was with Ditka?
Yeah, you know what? Buddy had this way of really painting us against the world. He really did, and that was the thing. That's why the guys love Buddy on defensive side so much, because you know we were his guys. And this is something I believe that Buddy had learned from when he was in Korea, when he was a sergeant. You know, and he told me a couple stories about, you know, having to lead men. And some of the things that Buddy and I had a chance to talk about was really cool. And just to know who he was, that it was about making sure that us as a group, as a defensive unit, were tight. That's what he did. I mean, he really knew how to make a group of guys come together. And we really did. And believe me, a lot of the things that I do today, who I am as a coach, I owe to Coach Dickett, but I also owe to Buddy Ryan.
Great stuff. It's great to talk to you. And congrats on the win. And good luck trying to corral Kyler Murray. That'll keep you up at night there, Coach.
Yes, it does. It does. In fact, we you know, the defense is still meeting right now, and I was actually talking to a few of those guys earlier about a couple ideas. So we'll see what happens. And he's a heck of a football player, though, and we got our work cut out for us.
Thank you, Coach. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
That's Ron Rivera, Washington football team head coach. I like the unis. I like the helmets. I like the numbers on the side there. And Daniel Snyder talked about maybe they just keep that as the nickname. I'm not sure. But they got Arizona in Arizona coming up next weekend. It always helps when you win. Your uniforms look a whole lot better when you win. I remember the old Padre uniforms in the 70s, and they weren't good looking at all. But then the Padres weren't very good. when the Astros had that rainbow, whatever it was, they looked a whole lot better when they started winning. Nolan Ryan helped that as well. But I think we've talked about this before. A team that wins who has bad uniforms, or a team that doesn't win that has good uniforms. Because people would say, when the Bengals were winning, then they liked the Tiger stripes. But when they weren't winning, then they didn't like them. I don't know if there's another team that you think of that they didn't win, but we like their uniforms. Because usually they go hand in hand. Or you give the team the benefit of the doubt where you go, man, you know, those uniforms look okay. Yeah, Paul.
And if you go back when the Chargers kind of blew up again in the early 80s, they had Dan Fouts and Joyner and those guys, and those uniforms came back in vogue. They always kept the lightning bolt, which was kind of their calling card.
That's still, it's a wonderful looking uniform. It's just something about it whenever you saw. And that's, it might have been the first football game I saw in person. Was the Chargers against the Bengals in Cincinnati. And that's when John Hadle was the quarterback. Lance Allworth, Gary Garrison, Dickie Post. And I just remember when they came out on the field. And the Bengals uniforms back then were so bland. So bland. And watching those Chargers, they came out on the field. And I loved AFL football because they threw it. Wide open, had fun. And the Chargers came out. And that image never left me of, boy, that is a gorgeous-looking uniform. Yeah, Paul.
The other day, I sit with my daughter, Molly. She's 9. And I asked her, just from looks, which is your favorite uniform? I went through all the teams. We had pictures. Guess which team she picked? A 9-year-old. Favorite uniforms. She did like the Chargers a lot, but that was not her overall favorite.
The Cleveland Browns.
The Detroit Lions. She loved the blue. She thought it was fun and loud, and she loved the Detroit Lions.
Well, that's maybe their target audience. They're looking for 9-year-olds that will have no idea what the Lions have done the previous, you know, 6 decades.
She thinks they're pretty good for the first 3 quarters.
Yeah, they're not good in the fourth quarter holding leads. Derek in North Carolina. Hi, Derek. What do you have for me today?
How's it going, DP? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First time, long time, 6'5", 215.
You're sounding pretty serious here, Derek.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, just got off a meeting phone call. Just wanted to see what you thought, like, after all the week one games. What's your favorite overreaction so far?
Well, my favorite overreaction, probably the sky is falling in Tampa, followed by the sky is falling in Dallas. Those would be my two overreactions. I mean, Brady lost to the Saints. He didn't look good. He threw the 2 picks. I think one of those picks is on Mike Evans, not Tom Brady. I know Bruce Arians said basically it was Tom's fault. The pick six, that's Brady's fault. But I still think they have a good defense. It's going to take a little while. And you're facing the Saints in New Orleans, a team that is ready-made. They didn't have big offseason acquisitions. And I think you got to be fair to Brady. And let's regroup in a month, and then you're going to probably have your opinion on Brady that will last the rest of the season. But this almost feels like preseason. The Patriots used to do this. First month of the regular season was a preseason for Bill Belichick. And then after that, you saw what the Patriots were going to be. I think that'll be the case with Brady and the Buccaneers. As far as Dallas, okay, you lost to a team that played great defense in the Rams, and they ran the ball, and you had a chance to win it. Controversial call there. You had a chance to win that game on the road. You're playing in a division that probably is not going to be that competitive. And I expect Dallas to win against Atlanta and then probably return to normal here. Yeah, Paul.
But Dan, week two overreaction is when it heats up because everyone drops the 0-2 teams to make the playoffs stat and everyone goes freaking berserk.
Casey in Los Angeles. Hey, Case, what do you have for me today?
Yo, Dan. Hey, Case. That game that you went to. Who was the quarterback for the Bengals? You remember, was it Virgil Carter?
Virgil Carter.
Ken Anderson?
Virgil Carter was the quarterback, and I think Greg Cook was not there. He was the former Rookie of the Year. And
right.
Virgil Carter and who's the former coach? Sam Weish.
Sam Weish.
So Sam Weish was the in uniform. Bruce Coslett was the tight end, I think, with Bob Trumpy.
Yep, Bruce Coslett.
And yep. Paul Robinson, the Cactus Comet, was the running back for the Bengals.
Number
Yep, right? Number 18.
With Paul Robertson.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Remember that stuff. So, Dan, when I called in and said I thought Cam Newton and the Patriots would have a better season than Tom Brady and the Bucs, there's a couple of reasons why I've said that. Now, there's no panic here, but I've been watching Tom Brady for 3 years, and he's been in. He got outplayed by Nick Foles in the Super Bowl. 2 years ago, they beat the Rams in that shootout 13-3 when he looked very pedestrian. And last year, they get beat in the playoffs. His release is slower. He has less velocity on his football. Oh, and by the way, he's 43 years old. I don't care if he's eating avocado ice cream or cryo chambers or what else he's doing. He's 43. Most quarterbacks, older quarterbacks, when they fall off the cliff, they fall off the cliff.
I know, but in case, thanks for the phone call. You know, we've been saying this for 5 years. Remember Trent Dilfer said that he, you know, he's falling off a cliff. Max Kellerman said he's falling off a cliff. And then he goes to the Super Bowl. Nick Foles didn't exactly outplay him. Tom threw for 500 yards. They didn't punt that game. And if Brady doesn't get sacked there at the very end, maybe they win that game. But look, am I concerned about how he ended last season? Second half of the season, yes. But let me see what he does with weapons. We keep saying that. Hey, let's see what he does with weapons here. Check back in 3 more weeks, and then I think we'll have a better idea of who he's going to be and who they're going to be this year. Yeah, McLovin.
Foles is a way better receiver in the Super Bowl than Brady. You have to give him that.
He is. He is a better – when the history of the NFL is written, when they say, who's a better wide receiver, Brady or Foles, you can honestly say Nick Foles.
Brady could have made more of an effort on that play, that wild card play.
I don't know.
Definitely.
No, I don't know. He took every white guy's hopes with him on that pass route. Like every one of us was going, catch it, catch it. I didn't want him to dive, but I thought, come on, Tom. And like he just put his hand up like he was, you know, going to answer a question in class. Yeah, McLovin.
Was he looking a little model-y for you guys on Sunday? He was like, I'm like.
Model-y?
Like, he just looked too good looking. You know, I feel like he's got to tone that down a little.
I think Garoppolo's got to tone it down.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think he's got to tone it down.
What does that mean? Like, go get a bad haircut?
Something. Something. Because I don't know. It's I don't think he deserves to look that good with the way he plays sometimes. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and last call for phone calls right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Paulie just introduced us to a Dugarita, Mountain Dew Margarita, only at Red Lobster. Todd, would you be willing to have a Dugarita? Since you love Mountain Dew.
I would probably try that. I'm not big with the alcoholic beverages, but anything that's got any type of Mountain Dew in it or kind of bright green colored beverage, I would check it out.
The only time you would ever have alcohol is when there was a pretty woman who was with us at dinner.
Very true.
Right?
I sipped a beer once at a Colorado Rockies game and I just didn't do anything for me.
But if there was a pretty woman who was sitting with us at dinner and she was having wine, then Todd would have wine.
You could probably get me to snort coke if we're going to really put our cards. If we're going to put our cards on the table, you know, if she's like that attractive, you know, if you can just try it. I'm not going to like get hooked on it or anything. Right?
Jeez.
I didn't inhale or whatever. I would deny it. I might do a couple lines for the right gal.
Okay, all right, okay.
It's not my style. No, it's not my thing. I don't do such things. But, I'm a nice Jewish boy from Brooklyn. I don't know.
A Dugarita. And then you told me that Doritos makes a Mountain Dew Dorito?
I think one of the guys sent it to me because they know how much I love Mountain Dew. Paulie may have even said, it's like nacho cheese Dorito Mountain Dew flavored. I haven't seen it in the stores, and believe me, I looked.
Oh, my God.
It's out there somewhere. Maybe it's in the middle of Iowa somewhere. Wherever it is, they got Mountain Dew Doritos somewhere.
All right. Final results of the poll question, McLovin.
Who's going to win the Celtics Heat? I put up for hour three, 61% Celtics.
Yeah, I'm taking the Heat. I'm riding them all the way to the finals. And Clipper, does anybody have the Nuggets tonight against the Clippers? No? Only if they go down 19 again, and then they'll have the Clippers right where they want them. But I'm guessing somebody might guard the Joker tonight. Maybe. That would be, I would probably advise that. But Kawhi Leonard, let's go. Let's see, drag him into the Western Conference Finals here. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have?
I got a bunch. This starts with 1946. The Brooklyn Dodgers-Chicago Cubs game was called when players, umpires, and fans were attacked by?
Bees.
Gnats.
Bees, gnats.
Bees, gnats. It happened years later with the Yankees, with the midges, as they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the midges.
That was so gross.
Part of the gnat family.
Was that in Cleveland when the gnats went after Jabba Chamberlain?
Yeah.
They were all stuck in his eyes and his mouth and stuff. Like, oh, this is so gross.
But they pulled Jabba after the fourth inning, so he didn't have to be out there too long. 1978, Muhammad Ali defeated Leon Spinks to win his third heavyweight boxing title. And 1953, the National Boxing Association adopted the 10-point scoring system for all of its matches, which is still in play today. That was 1953.
Okay. Reggie Miller will join us on the program tomorrow as we recap how the Clippers fared against the Nuggets. And I guess if you ask LeBron privately, who do you want to face? Does he want to face Kawhi and the Clippers just because it's Kawhi and you want to knock them off? Or would you rather maybe take the path of least resistance and go against the Nuggets here? I'm curious what he would say. Probably privately say, well, I'd rather face the Nuggets. But, you know, you want to go against the best player or the guy that, you know, people are saying has kind of been the heir apparent here, or taken over the throne as the best basketball player. But Clippers, Nuggets coming up tonight, and then Heat and the Celtics. Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. I'm going to start with you, Todd. What did you learn today?
I learned that you don't like the Sixers roster. Too many square pegs and round holes to want to coach them.
Yeah, Mike D'Antoni, I can't see him fitting into that system. You got Al Horford. Like, what D'Antoni teaches, I'd want that New Orleans job. I'd want to get Zion out on the move, Lonzo Ball moving, Brandon Ingram. That would probably be a pretty good fit. And Indiana would be a good, you know, might be an interesting fit too. Yes, McLovin, what did you learn?
Steve Levy doubled down on his Stephen Gostkowski Hall of Famer take.
Did anybody else come to his defense? Because I said, look, he might be the Hall of Very Good, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
Larry Gostkowski, Stephen's brother.
His brother said yes.
No, no one did.
No one did. I didn't think so. Seton O'Connor, what did you learn today?
Steve Levy, a two Bud Light guy.
Yeah, that's all he had after the game. Two Bud Lights. Paulie?
Steve Levy used to be Mr. Saturday Night. Now he's Mr. Monday Night.
Yeah. It was good. It was a comfortable listen last night. So was Herbie and Fowler. I thought they did a really good. Well, I knew that they would sound good because they've been together for such a long time. It's just learning the NFL rules after you've been, you know, all you've done is cover the college football game. What did I learn, Todd?
The Clippers don't have a Disney easy pass to the Western Conference Finals. They actually have to beat the Nuggets first.
During these unprecedented times, you can rely on LegalZoom for legal help. Visit LegalZoom.com today to take care of the things that you need to get done without leaving your home. That's LegalZoom.com. Thanks for the emails, tweets, phone calls, all-around support. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Dan Patrick Show.